A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello everyone, good afternoon, welcome to Redmen News. I'm Ross Chanley. Tom Dutton has just stitched me up going live there. He said we were live, then we weren't, and then apparently we are. This is brought to you in association with The Athletic. If you would like a 7-day free trial and 50% off your yearly subscription, head to www.theathletic.co.uk/Redmen News. The link will be in the chat and in the description after the fact. Joined today by Jack Gill to talk through some Liverpool news, some other bits. We're going to talk about the German football coming back as well. It's quite a big topic at the moment and a bit of escapism for us all. Jack, welcome. How are we?
I'm going insane. So,
Jack, just before we start recording, you said you've got to mute yourselves. Do you want to explain to everybody why?
Yeah, my brother's got a saxophone lesson, so if you hear some nice saxophone music in the background, that's why. So I'm going insane, Ross. I'm trying to do uni work. I'm trying to do other work, and I just got saxophone banging in my ears every 5 minutes. He's not even good at it.
Well, you know. You've got to learn somewhere, haven't you? Let's start with this piece from The Athletic, exclusive. Club medics query safety of Premier League return in a 100-point email. This comes from David Ornstein of The Athletic. The communication seen by The Athletic is split into 10 subject areas. Within each of them, it contains multiple COVID-19 concerns that the medics have not been addressed, including approving guidelines that will still carry a risk of death, liability, insurance and testing for players, staff and their families, possible transmission via sweat and goalkeeper gloves, suspicions that some clubs are already ignoring guidelines, increased risk for Black, Asian, minority and ethnic groups, ability of emergency services to attend training ground incidents. Chad, this is something that I think us and, you know, lots of other fans have kind of discussed. This is where our concern comes from of, you know, great having Premier League football back. It's great having the footy back on TV. But all these concerns, and it's quite alarming actually that these haven't been addressed just yet, isn't it? And do you think these would be the priority? And, you know, the players' safety, the safety of their family, whether players actually want to come back and put their families at risk. You know, if you're on an individual basis, like, you know, we could go back into the studio, but I don't want to put, you know, my family at risk. You know, Tom doesn't want to put himself at risk and other things like that. You can understand why the players think that and why these concerns should be addressed even.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there was that whole thing before it was halted as well where, yeah, they banned handshakes, but, you know, it's still a contact sport. They're still grappling at corners. It's still contagious. It's airborne at the end of the day. So, you know, I think there are genuine concerns. And I think the good thing for the Premier League right now is that the Bundesliga is obviously quite a few weeks ahead of us. And it's going to be interesting to watch that from afar and see the developments that happen there and what happens. But obviously, Germany are in a lot better situation than us. They've got a lot less deaths. And it doesn't look as bad there as it is here at the minute. So I think we're still quite a while off seeing football being brought back. I know Dominic Raab said yesterday that obviously the government want football back quickly, but there's loads of things that could be. And I do think they need to have a thorough look into all the medical issues that can happen if the Premier League is rushed back too quickly.
And to be fair, their addressing of medical records and scientific things of what could happen, what would happen, isn't fucking great either, is it? So that's why we find ourselves so far behind. So, you know, maybe German football is the way forward for a few weeks.
We spoke the other day about the masks, and I said at the time about how actually I think that's more not even necessarily to protect the players. It's more probably a mental thing to make it seem like they're more protected, because there's going to be a lot of issues. It's not just about the fact of obviously wearing masks. We saw Wolves are going back to training. One way they've gone about it is washing their own kits and stuff like that. There's going to be loads of issues and loads of changes if we are to see football back in the next few couple of months, few weeks. But yeah, I can understand why a lot of people are worried, because we're not really in a position right now where we can be talking about football coming back here anytime soon. We still had a lot of deaths yesterday. You know, we're still in a bad place here in England.
Yeah, it's shocking, isn't it? Let us know your thoughts on that subject and any of those that follow. Tom will collect them and we'll get to them as many as we can at the end. Some more Kylian Mbappe chat, Jack. I'm not sure where I stand on this, but I'll just explain it. But apparently Kylian Mbappe's demanded PSG release clause amid Liverpool transfer links. Kylian Mbappe's reportedly demanded a release clause to be inserted in any new PSG contract that he signed in case a top club comes calling. Mbappe's strongly linked with Liverpool. We all know that stuff. There's two things to this, Jack. Of if he wants to leave, why would he sign a new contract? And if this is true, he says, in case one of the big clubs calls, like, I'm not going to disrespect PSG, but like they are a big club. And I don't mean that in comparison to Liverpool or Manchester United, you know, the champions again of the French league. You know, they're a big deal in France, aren't they? So it's also a little bit disrespectful to them.
Yeah, there's been loads of stuff surrounding Mbappe during this whole quarantine thing, because he's definitely up there with the best players in the world. And it's considering actually how long before you judge Mbappe against the likes of Messi and Ronaldo. And you look at his career and where he's at the minute. He's in France at PSG, where he's guaranteed titles. But, you know, is the French League a place where you can be seen as one of the best players in the world? Is that a good enough standard to do that?
Is he challenging himself?
Exactly. He's not. And you know, I think there's been a lot over the last few years about, obviously, if Real Madrid comes calling, he'll want to go. And obviously how he wants to play in England as well, and Liverpool would be his preferred destination. And yeah, it's all chat at the minute. It's all talk. But, you know, to make this man who is a genuine contender, who could be in a few years a Ballon d'Or winner, you know, he's not far away from it now. He's a very, very good player. And I think personally, he does need to test himself and a move away from PSG at some point in the not too distant future would be the best move for Kylian Mbappe.
Does it strike you as strange? I mean, this obviously might not be fucking true, but if he has said that, like, if your PSG was just not just go, no, I'm not doing that, like, we want you to stay here, you know, here's another fucking bag of money.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, though. I think Kylian Mbappe knows that he's at a club that won't necessarily need money. And I think at the end of the day, he knows that he's worth a lot of cash as it is. PSG probably got him way too cheap for their own good, because obviously there was a lot of weird things around that transfer window where somehow they managed to get him and Neymar in the same transfer window and they still haven't been punished for it. But, you know, I think now looking at it, he probably understands that he's at a club that don't necessarily need money, so will never be in a situation where they necessarily need to sell him. So I think he'll probably be trying to cover bases. It doesn't necessarily mean that he wants to leave the club now, but I think he's thinking of the future and when his time comes that he wants to leave PSG, he'll be able to get out of there easier than usual.
Yeah, true. Thomas popped a tweet from Mbappe, which is from the 29th of April, which is a throwback Thursday. He just says, everyone is talking, but nobody knows. Miss my team. I had a picture of him in his PSG kit, so fuck knows. Maybe just want to stay. Probably wouldn't blame him. Moving on, Man City and Liverpool, interest in Tussel for one of Europe's most prized teenagers. Both clubs have been sent scouts to watch KV Mechelen, starlet Asta Franks, on at least three separate occasions. This is interesting, Jack. You know, I'll get your opinion on this in a second. But they've been seen three times at the turn of the year. European clubs like Bayern Munich, Feyenoord, circling, and the cost will be initially $1.5 million. This has come from David Maddock in the Mirror, so you know it's quite a reputable, well, a very reputable source. We love David Maddock at Redman TV. First question, Jack, is getting someone who's 17 years old. I mean, that's surely a good sign. You know, you cover the academy stuff quite a lot, and maybe, you know, he'd go into that growth. But the likes of, if Curtis Jones moves on to the first team, potential Harvey Elliott, Neco Williams, but Liverpool going to continue that cycle to invest in that team and, you know, kind of put more money into it and kind of grow it if they can. And particularly what's going to happen with the transfer window, we don't know. We might see a case where more money is going to go into these youth teams so that they can improve the players themselves rather than spending £20-30 million, which the clubs might not have.
Absolutely. Jamie Carragher's just released a video through Sky talking to someone, I can't remember the fella's name now, but talking about academies and how after this we may see more youth players.
Damien Camoli.
Yeah, that's the one.
Used to be Liverpool.
See more people coming through the academies and stuff like that. So it wouldn't surprise me if after this people look for young talent, which is going to be a lot cheaper than already made, you know, players that are world class or very good players from abroad. We've spoke about obviously different issues we may have after this with bringing players from abroad. People might want to stay with their families in their country. People may find it even harder to actually move countries. It may be harder to get a visa. We don't know at this point. But you know, this player looks good. He's 17 years old. He's just broken through into the Belgian league. He's versatile. He can play numerous different positions. You know, everything Jurgen Klopp likes in a football player. So I think it's.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Obvious to see the links, and when there's a lot of big clubs in Europe that are interested in a young talent, you know, we've got one of the best, some of the best staff in the world, in world football. So, you know, I think we're obviously always going to be one of the names interested in the player like this. So it's going to be interesting to see. And obviously, as you say, David Maddock's a very good source. So it might happen. So I think we'll have to give it time and see if he becomes a Liverpool player.
Just on that, and I'm not suggesting this is why Neil Critchley got off, but, like, you know, he must be really good if you are Neil Critchley and you see the likes of Curtis Jones and Nick Williams, you know, making a step or steps towards the first team. It's kind of like, your job is done, but it's also like they're my best players. Like, you know, you want to see some sort of reinvestment into that team so you kind of can sustain what you're building in that sense, can't you?
Absolutely. I always say that being an under-23 manager or coach is one of the hardest things to do in football, because actually you only know a couple of games before days before the game that you won't be without your star players that day, and how actually you're going to go around that. You've got to obviously have a good relationship with the under-18s coach to know who you've got from there to bring up, and you've got to know every player inside out. And I think Neil Critchley did an excellent job with Liverpool, and there's obviously no questions why he got that Blackpool job. I think I've said before, Blackpool love a loan move, and that that's why they've gone for someone who is obviously very good at knowing young players, who's bought through a lot of young players at Liverpool. And, you know, I think Liverpool are in a really good position, going back to what I said before from what Damien Camoli said. I think we're in a really good position. I think we've shown this year that it's not just our first team that has done excellently. We've got some really good young players coming through as well. So, you know, I think after this, we're one of the best clubs in the best position to deal with the implications of the coronavirus.
Good to right. Going to move on to some of the German football that we mentioned earlier. There was a meeting today, but this is from this morning. Chris Williams, another good friend of the show, said made 15th Bundesliga return was always a possibility, made a 9th almost fanciful. However, 22nd allows greater level of protection for all. An extra 7 days ultimately adds more. No setbacks as such for the DFL, more the opposite. But in the past half an hour to an hour, Rafa Honigstein, that meeting has finished with an update to Merkel's initial proposal leaked in the media, demanded a 2-week quarantine for Bundesliga clubs. A second version has now crucially removed the 2-week bit. 1 week, as the league's medical paper, might be sufficient, which bring us back to May the 15th. There's a possibility that the Bundesliga, Jack, might be back on Saturday. What day is it? A week on Saturday?
Yes, yeah, some good news finally, isn't it? I think it's going to be great for us to actually now we've got something to focus on, and you know the Timo Werner's rumours won't go away. So I'm just going to watch a load of Timo Werner, a load of Dortmund, just get my dose of football back. It's going to be good to see it back, but it's also interesting to see. Obviously, they are still getting cases of coronavirus in the Bundesliga. They're getting players and staff still coming down with it. But obviously they're regularly testing players now. They've got each club regularly testing players, keeping them away, still socially distancing where they can. And actually they're still intending to carry on with the season. So, as I say, I think it's going to be interesting to watch this, what's going on in the Bundesliga. It's good that we've got someone to look to and look towards. And obviously if it works, we can follow their mould and get the Premier League back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I asked this yesterday, or we discussed it yesterday on the main Red Men YouTube channel and on Spotify and all that stuff for the podcast, of which team will you be following. I think you kind of just touched on it there. I think you're going to be on Team of Werner alert, are you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think there's always been a bit of fondness towards Dortmund because obviously the Jürgen Klopp links and they're just a similar club to ourselves. But I think right now the thing that interests me the most is Timo Werner, and it's going to be interesting to watch him in more detail. I obviously get to watch the Bundesliga quite a lot as a student. All I do is watch football. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you don't see it as much as you'd see the Premier League. So it'll be interesting to watch Timo Werner more and a lot more and understand what he's about and whether he'd be a good addition to us in the summer.
Yeah, because there's something to talk about because I've mentioned Timo Werner for a few days. Moving on, Leroy Sané has apparently or reportedly agreed a 5-year deal with Bayern Munich. The Bundesliga side are now hoping Manchester City will lower their asking price. I think it's reported it's about £35 million, Shaq. I think, I mean, it's good because he frightens the life out of me, and every time he plays with us, I know he's been injured this season for all the season, hasn't he? But also £35 million, if that fee is rumoured to be true, it's an absolute steal.
Yeah, this room has not gone away for a few years, as it would Leroy Sané to buy in. I think, obviously, the thing is, I think he's a scarily underrated player, and I think Man City have really missed him this season. And when people talk about how they've obviously had a massive dip this year, they often look to Laporte's injury and other things, but nobody really mentions Leroy Sané. And, you know, I think he's one of City's best players. As you say, I think he's a scary player. He's a young player. And it's going to be a big loss for Man City to lose Leroy Sané. And, you know, I think it'll be an excellent signing for Bayern Munich, and especially if it's the price that they're saying there. But, you know, it's excellent news for us because a rival loses a top, top player. But, you know, it would be nice to make a cheeky bid if he is.
I was just about to ask you that.
Yeah,
maybe just to boil piss a little bit, or just to wind the water. Come here, go on.
They're never going to say yes, are they? So just a cheeky bid. There you go. Have that. But he's probably got something to do with the fact he wants to go back to Germany. I'm not sure.
I understand that.
Yeah, but you know, I think it's still good news for us nonetheless, because if it's 35 million, then City will probably have to spend almost double that to get a player as good as him.
Yeah, and it's also strengthens Bayern Munich as well, doesn't it? You know, obviously Liverpool are the only team so far that have qualified for the Champions League. Again, we don't know what's going on with that next season, but, you know, they were tough when we played them before, but coming up against Lewandowski, Serge Gnabry and, you know, Leroy Sané, is not going to be an exciting prospect, is it?
I think the issue, though, is that it might cause Man City to step up in getting Jadon Sancho, because obviously a former player of theirs as well, and you know, it might be interesting to see if that's who they go for to replace him. But, you know, they're a club that's being looked at by FFP a lot at the minute. So it's whether they can actually go out and spend that much money on a player.
It's true, yeah. Thank you for all your comments. I'm going to read some of them out now. Stephen Somerville with the Green Super Chat, thank you very much. He says, I encourage everyone tomorrow night at 8 o'clock to watch Liverpool, to watch LFC TV, a full replay of the Barcelona game. Jack, I'm definitely going to watch that. I think I spent yesterday afternoon scheduling a load of tweets and stuff, and as I was going through, it's gone fine. Just like some of the stuff, like I've watched the highlights like God knows how many times in the past year, but I can't believe it's been a year since that happened.
Yeah, I've done a view for the Kop in the last couple of days with with Matt Addison from the Liverpool Echo, and he sent me the email through with the questions, and obviously I've seen that, and I didn't realise it was a year on Thursday. So me and my dad enjoyed obviously reminiscing what happened this time last year and just how good that night was. And you know, I've often said on the Red Men TV and to my dad that, you know, as a person without a wife and kids, I can easily say that was the best night of my life. And you know, I get a nice smile from my dad every time. As a man with a wife and three kids, I still know that it was one of the best nights of his life as well. So
yeah, you know, he just can't say that in front of your mum, can he?
Exactly. So, you know, it was one of them. It's just an incredible night. And I often say, we talk about, obviously, we're a club that's had so many amazing nights over the years, and we're very lucky with that. But, you know, this Barca thing actually being there in the stadium, you know, Mission Impossible, it being against Lionel Messi's Barcelona, it was meant to be their year after the free kick he scored at the Nou Camp against us, and not having Salah and Firmino that game, it was just brilliant. And you know, it's something that I'm never going to forget. And I know probably everyone that was there that night, or everyone that's a Liverpool fan in the world, will probably never forget that night.
That's tomorrow night's entertainment sorted anyway. Josh Owen says, just had the players in full hazmat gear running around for 90 minutes. Lovely suggestion, Josh, but I can't see that taking off quite yet. On Mbappe, Mark John Sarah says, in relation to the Mbappe deal, do you think Liverpool or land move for him in 2 years' time to place one of the front three? I would love that to happen, but I don't think Liverpool will want to spend that amount of money, the amount of wages on someone like that. I think he kind of just ruins everything. It's a question of what Mbappe wants for me. If he's willing to ultimately fucking half his wages, and you know, his fee comes down, if he doesn't sign a new contract, then maybe you can talk about that situation. But for me, Jack, it's like he's one of them. He's like got to be one of the best in the world, or you know, he's up there already. I just can't see Liverpool doing it.
Yeah, it's unrealistic, especially with the unprecedented times we're obviously in at the minute. It's very difficult to have an opinion on any player that's, you know, got the cheapest wages in the world, let alone someone of Kylian Mbappe's calibre. And we don't know whether the transfer market's going to reset itself as well. We just don't know what's going to happen with football going forwards. And listen, I think everyone would love Kylian Mbappe at the club. As I said before, he's one of the best players in the world right now, and he's not too far off Messi and Ronaldo and the ability they're at right now. But you know, I think it's very unlikely, and you know, I've got myself excited far too many times over this past year over a player that is very unlikely to join Liverpool. But you know, I can dream, I can hope, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, I do. So on the Belgian kid, Oksana says, I'm Belgian, I've never seen him, but I'm glad a young talent have been linked with the big boys. Do some research for us, let us know more about him. On Leroy Sané, S100 says, bargain, but he's prone to injuries. Mike Thornburn says, good riddance to Sané, I'm sick of him scoring against us. I think we can all agree with that. Rob D, bargain deal, especially given the current climate. And Rob D also says, reckon Michael Edwards could get him for $25 million. I don't think anyone's disagreeing with that, are they? Keep your comments coming. Let us know your thoughts on all the subjects that we have covered in the comments below. We'll try and reply to them later on tonight. This is in association with Athletic. So if you do want that 7-day free trial and 50% off your yearly subscription, head to www.theathletic.co.uk/redmennews. We'll be back, me and Jack, on Friday with the rest of the news for this week. Until then, stay safe and we'll see you then.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.